Hey, H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 a.m.
That right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building. H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
What up?
It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. What up, Atlanta? We are here. Sports Roundtable is in the building along with the SRT crew. And it's another week. Thanks for giving up 2 hours of your day to tune in to the hottest sports show on radio with the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. We're here each and every Wednesday from 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And shout out to WRN, the radio network, AM 1100. And if you also want to tune in via internet, please go to srtradio.com. If you want to give us a shout, if you want to call in, get something off your chest, you can give us a call, 404-603-8770. If this is your first time listening to the show, shame on you. But we do appreciate it. And with that being said, definitely got to introduce the crew as I am your humble host from
Westside Bankhead. It won't fall.
Westside Bankhead, you already know, H.O. in the building. And I got my main man from the Memphis, the barbecue. They say they got the best barbecue in the nation. St. Louis go argue with that, but
they can keep arguing.
They can keep arguing. My main man, football season is coming. My main man, the sports superhero, Hancock.
What's up, big homie?
What's happening then?
What's up, crew?
What up?
What up, Weezy? What up, G Money?
Yo,
what's happening, baby? G Money. You know, I guess I feel I understand how Trump supporters feel being a Cowboy fan right about now. It ain't real popular. It ain't real good. It ain't a good feeling right now.
Definitely not a good feeling.
My God. What's up, man?
Man, everything good, man. Ready to rock and roll, baby.
Yeah, man. Let's get this on, baby.
Yes, sir. We got a lot to talk about. And, of course, let's go ahead and throw it over to the coach all the way from, we're going to call it T-Town. We know he's from the Gump, but he sports 4 rings out of 8 years. My main man, D-Will, the coach.
What's happening then? What up, crew?
What up, Weezy?
Man, y'all know what it is.
It's getting countdown time, man.
Listen. We ready.
Y'all ready?
Y'all ready.
First preseason polls out.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that.
We know we got it. You see what my shirt looked like today?
You ever seen that movie?
I see the crimson. On the
End of the Dragon when Bruce Lee boy beat the boards up and all that?
Uh-uh.
And Bruce Lee said, boards don't hit back. Let's go, Knowles. Can't know about no poles. No, we got to get it started, man.
I know, man. Listen, man, we got a hot show for you today. Obviously, we got some hot news coming up. And that's going to be great because we're talking about OJ the Juice. And we got an interview, man. Coach Davin Williams will be calling in around 7:30 to talk about Last Chance University. He is the D-line coach over there, so definitely that'll be interesting. If you haven't checked it out on Netflix, please do. They say the second season is out. Is that right, D-Will?
Yes, sir.
Second season is out on Netflix, so please check that out. We also got the fun bag. Fun bag is back this week. We got some fun bag questions around 7:47. And then that'll end the first hour of the show. Second hour of the show, we got some G's extra credit. Then, of course, we got 92.9 The Game's own Deshaun Tate, our brother, coming through to talk about the NBA Summer League. And we go crank it up and we go continue to talk about the NBA. Kyrie Irving, Carmelo's possible new destination. We got all of that and more on Sports Roundtable. And G, with that being said, let's go ahead and crank it up this hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
He's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable hot news.
Sports Roundtable hot news, sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans food, seafood in town, please go on over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town, and it is verified. And D. Will can verify them crab claws as well.
Yes, I just had them last Wednesday.
So if you need to check out the menu, please go to BigEasyGrill.com. All right, the hot news, obviously, the juice, Hancock's favorite running back.
Yeah, definitely growing up.
Pretty much favorite running back, gets paroled, and he's due out October the 1st. Thoughts and comments?
I think it was due. I mean, the crime that I thought he was doing time for was not this crime.
Right.
You know, to be honest with you, from all accounts, all the people with the legal background kept saying that he was kind of over-sentenced, if you want to use that term,
mm-hmm.
for this crime, probably because of how people felt about what he may or may not have gotten away with it, you know, away with his wife's demise or whatever you want to call that back right. in the day. So, it was time for him to, I guess, get out. He had already been acquitted of some of the charges in the previous parole hearing or whatever, from what I'm told. So, but he didn't do himself any favors by the way he was talking. You know, OJ is just, he's probably his own worst enemy when he's talking. You could tell that, you know, he was nervous and he started saying things or whatever, but the juice is loose, so juice it is what it is.
D. Will, your thoughts on OJ getting out, going for a first down?
OJ did it. No, I'm just saying, but he should be out. And what baffles me is I missed a little bit of why he went to jail this time. OJ could have pled guilty in the beginning and took a 2-year sentence and been out in 2 years. But instead, he refused to plead guilty and went to trial. And they convicted him of 33 years, in which he was paroled after 9 when she just got out of. So OJ actually felt as if he did nothing wrong. So he really bit the bullet. They weren't doing him a favor. He could have been out in 2 years.
Yeah.
But he refused to plead guilty.
Yeah, they socked it to him.
They gave him 33 years in prison.
For,
and made him do
for
nine.
Stealing his own.
But listen, he got charged with a gun, which he never had.
Right.
He got charged with stealing his own stuff, which I don't even know how that's possible.
And kidnapping.
And kidnapping, because he went into the hotel room of theirs. That was their. So I kidnapped you in your own room.
Yeah, anytime you hold somebody against their will, basically, it's.
Well, yeah, part of that is that, like, because you hear on the recording, all right, no one leaves. That's kidnapping.
Exactly. Oh,
by the letter of the law, that's kidnapping.
Yeah.
Because someone had a gun. It wasn't him, but someone had a gun. That makes it armed robbery.
Exactly.
Wow. So he could have been listening to some music and quoted a song, No One Leaves, but because it's on the recording, that's kidnapping.
Yeah. Listen. They socked it to him.
Socked it to
because
him.
That's all B is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the 33 was because I think the civil suit was like 33
million. So they gave him 33.
So we'll give you a year for every meal you owe. Baby.
Go ahead, G.
Well, also, like, would you hear in the parole hearing that you felt like, okay, OJ's going to mess this up because he's talking too much. He's being defiant. He didn't seem remorseful.
Right.
But by the letter of the law, again, in Nevada, it's if the defendant or if the inmate showed good behavior while he was in prison.
Right.
That's okay. It. That's all it takes to be paroled in Nevada.
Wow. Okay. So if it was in Chicago, it'd be a different story.
Wow.
Now shut your mouth, boy.
All right. The next hot story is Ole Miss former head coach has been axed And basically, I'm just going to sum it up like this. He got Rick Pitino caught on a cell phone with some escort services and trying to arrange. Well, he got Pitino because he did the Tiger Woods, basically. So,
this is worse than Tiger Woods. It's worse because, okay, his wife, Tiger Woods' wife, went through his phone and found everything. That's one thing. But to use the phone issued to you by the state?
Yeah, that's crazy. Come on, man. Hancock, your thoughts on Hugh Freeze. Now, they say he resigned, but let's be real.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, man, the Southern coaches, excuse me, do a lot of Bible thumping. And some of them, the most freaky, whatever, you know, behind the scenes people you want to be. You know, they get their freak on down here in the South. And they keep thumping these Bibles, and it makes it just look just worse than what it is, you know. And, I mean, what else can you say, man? You know, they were cheating anyway. Ole Miss was cheating. They, you know, institutions like Ole Miss don't get number one recruiting classes the way they've been getting.
Right.
You know, and so everybody knew they were, you know, kind of doing some things behind the scenes. But when this happened, man, it just pretty much set everything in motion, and everything was put on demise. That's it. So it was the last straw. He got put out there, and now Ole Miss will pay the price. Believe me, they're going to get him for all the Kandichi and all the stuff they've done. It's all coming out. NCAA will be taking up residence in Oxford.
Yep. I do it. Now, first of all, before we start, you know, we got some emails in when this happened about, you know, I'm sure Alabama glad this happened and all this other kind. I'm just telling you what the email said. So your thoughts on it, you kind of knew that kind of shade was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, when you win, you know, that's what happens. So your thoughts on Hugh Freeze getting the axe? And
well, I'm going to tell you like this. Am I glad? I could care less. They beat us 2 years in a row. Congratulations. Guess what? We got a ship and a championship appearance in those two seasons. So what does it really mean?
Right.
But on to Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze, how can I say it? He the man. He the man. Like, he's making millions of dollars, but you too dumb to get another phone. Okay? That's the first part. And in my opinion, I believe all this is a cover-up. I believe this is a cover-up to, don't you know, throwing a rock and hiding your hand. They're making you look at something else.
Right.
When the real problem is over here brewing.
Exactly.
Yeah. The fire's brewing over here because they already did their self-imposed sanctions. That's not going to work.
Nah, it's not.
Okay.
So especially like with this going on.
Exactly. This was, what the old folks say? The straw that broke the camel's back.
That's it.
This was it. So they're finna drop the hammer on Ole Miss. Okay, so, but they're just going back to what Ole Miss always was. Okay? Like you say, schools like Ole Miss don't get number one recruiting classes. Right.
Was that's it 2 years in a row or something like that?
Well, I'm saying they were top five the last three.
I know they got like three players who were ranked number one
overall
at the position.
Overall.
So basically, D. Will saying, you know, nothing is new because this is what society does. They throw you this hand, but really doing something else.
Exactly.
Hugh Freeze resigns, gets fired, does not get any money. Soon as he got fired, that's it. Yeah. So he's broke.
He violated some kind of clause in the contract.
Exactly. So we don't know if he's going to get another job.
Well, here's the thing I heard. They said the NCAA is going to slap him with a show clause. So he won't be able to coach somewhere else. Or it's going to take
5 years.
Exactly. It's going to be ADs are going to be so scared to touch him. Because just because you lost your job and got fired, you still not exempt from what you did at that school.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's talks of him getting hit with a show cause like G Money said, that's 5 years, no college coach.
Isn't that what happened to Bruce Pearl in basketball?
It's the same thing happened to Bruce Pearl.
It happened to Franchione
too.
Calvin Sampson from Oklahoma.
Didn't your boy get Franchione when he came down to Franchione? Was it Franchione came at Alabama when he got it
at Texas A&M after he left Bama.
Okay. Wow.
Wasn't that Mike Price at Alabama?
Well, Mike Price got it.
Price, that's who I was thinking about. Price.
Yep. He got hit with a show call.
That's what it was.
All right. Shout out to all on Facebook.
Facebook
Live Facebook Lookers. Live. Shout out
what's
to
up,
Cotty.
Fam?
What's up, Cotty?
See all the fam out there.
Breezy, what up?
The number three story is Kyrie wants out. And we're going to talk about this a little more in our roundtable discussion. But Kyrie wants out, and it's been Twitter beefing. You know, my thing is, what has happened to just calling someone on the phone and you talk it out like a man, all this Twitter beefing and all this, well, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that on Twitter and things of that nature. So Kyrie reports that he wants to be traded from the Cavaliers. And LeBron comes back and says, you know, now they saying that LeBron leaked this story and Kyrie right. didn't leak the story. Then some people say that, well, Chauncey knew about it. But Chauncey say, well, how did that happen when I didn't even know anything about it? Which, you know, that's a whole nother story. But whether what is said was true or not, we know he wants out. And Cleveland has signed Derrick Rose as an insurance policy to fill that void at $2.1 million, the veteran minimum.
Right.
And your thoughts on Kyrie, because you have brought this up. You have been bringing this up. So go ahead and let's get it on. Let's get it on record.
I've been saying this since LeBron came back, that what he was doing was kind of holding Kyrie back.
Right.
Kyrie can see all the things that happened with the other point guards, from Russell getting his shine now, you know, from coming, you know, being the bad guy. And he gets to be an MVP when he gets his own team. Look at Harden going and gets his own team. He's doing his thing.
John Wall just signed.
All the adulation that Steph Curry gets from being a two-time back-to-back MVP. You know, and him seeing that, look, I have these same type of abilities, but I had to ask to get the keys to drive the car because I got to go through whatever Dad LeBron say. You know, and all the things that go along with LeBron's passive aggressiveness, like, you know, we're top heavy. We need a playmaker. You know, you name it. All his boys being able to ride when they want to ride, do all those kind of things. So I think it just kind of weighed on Kyrie, and he's ready for his opportunity to be the man. And I thought, like I said, he's in the prime. It might have been a little bit more difficult for him to leave had he not won a title. But right. as I told y'all before, if they would have lost that series previously, the one that they came back and won down 3-1, I think it would have been broken up before then.
Way before then.
Yeah, because, and one other thing before I move on. Kyrie had been told that this was going to be his squad prior to LeBron coming back. See, the LeBron thing happened after the meeting and everything was solidified. Okay, we're going to move in this direction and put everything in place for you to be the man. Then 2 weeks later, here's LeBron saying, I'm coming home, yep. I'm coming home, yep. All this kind of crap. And from then on, Kyrie's been taking a back seat. And I don't think he ever wanted this.
And he's only 25.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But and seeing everybody else shine, and he can't. Nah, I'm ready to get out.
Well, first of all, he okay. could never get what he would always miss out on the Paul George situation as far as first, second, or third team.
Yeah.
Because that's money. And if he actually do leave Cleveland, he's still going to miss out on $70 million because his rights would leave.
Listen, but the man. Money is so astronomical, he'll make it back.
Yeah, the money is.
See, he won't make that $70 million that he won't make. But he can do endorsements.
He'll get it. He'll
yeah,
get
I mean,
he signed with Nike. So.
It's kind of been a double-edged sword.
Second or third highest selling shoe at Nike.
Right.
So he's good.
Right.
And Uncle Drew is going off with Pepsi.
And they tried to make you not leave by offering you this big money, but it's starting to backfire. You see people hold Russell Westbrook still hadn't signed his extension.
Yeah, he's not going to either. And it makes sense. But listen, Kyrie, I hear everything y'all just said. He wants his own team, blah, blah, blah. But this has to be the most selfish act I've ever seen in my life. You go to the finals every year. Listen, did you know this? Guess who led the league? Well, led Cleveland in field goals attempts.
He did.
In the regular season.
Guess who was fifth in the whole NBA in field goal attempts?
Yeah.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
So everything that he says he wants, he gets. He has a shoe contract. He gets all the shots that he wants. But listen, you go to the finals every year. What is the point of playing the game? What's the point? Is it to win or is it to be the man? And that's the problem with millennials. That's their issue. His issue is, I don't care if I win. I care if my name is in the headlines and if I'm getting the accolades that I deserve. That's I. What are we doing in basketball?
But we've seen this story before.
I'm not saying.
But what I'm saying.
But not when you play with a player like LeBron and you go to the finals every year.
Kobe did it with Shaq.
Yeah,
he did. He wanted Shaq out of there.
Yeah, he did.
And what?
But that was a different dynamic. They had actual beef.
Right.
They had actual.
Right.
LeBron
I agree.
And Kyrie
I agree
don't
with
have
that.
Actual beef.
I agree with that. But the same thing is, who was Kyrie's favorite player?
Kobe.
True. He's even said it. And his mentality now is that of, I got a title.
I still can't. I'm not going to give him a pass for that.
No pass. I'm just saying, this is where I think he's thinking. I got a title, but I can't get any kind of love like the rest of these point guards in the NBA.
I can't get it.
No matter what I do, even Dame gets love.
Yeah. Not enough.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Not enough.
But I got two conspiracy theories.
Go ahead.
Okay? I got two. First of them, rumors are that LeBron leaked this story, correct?
True. Right.
Did LeBron leak this story because now we've already said the dynamic in Houston is not working. We don't see how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see a Kyrie, Chris Paul? Now he gets Chris Paul to Cleveland. That's an easier way to get his guy to Cleveland now. I come out, I break this story. Kyrie wants to be gone. Kyrie, go to Houston.
Could happen because I've been saying the Banana Boat Crew getting together anyway.
And that was my reason.
I've been saying the Super Friends will unite, believe it.
At some point.
And it might be by trade deadline. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm telling you, that's going to still happen. But I don't know if it's going to happen this year. Because I don't know. We have to do some research to find out what the situation is with Chris Paul's contract. Can he move without, how long does he have to stay in Houston by signing with them? Or can they move his contract before?
True.
You know, so I don't know what that is.
Because he did just sign with them.
Exactly.
Now, second conspiracy theory. Is this a backdoor channel? LeBron actually picking up the phone. Yo, Kyrie, we ain't going to put this out.
Thought about that too.
But I'm out of here next year, bro.
I feel you.
So I'm going to tell you, you might want to get out now.
That's a good conspiracy.
There is no beef. I know they're not the best of friends. They don't hang out because they're in different age brackets. Right. They're in different eras.
Right.
So they don't hang out.
He's never in a vacation picture on the Banana Boat.
Never. You know what I'm saying? He's not even in the LeBron videos. You know what I'm saying? Because LeBron's what, 35? He's 20. They 10 year difference.
It's different.
So would he have, hey, LeBro, I'm out of here. Don't say nothing. But you might want to get out now.
True.
So
do we take anything from what Mr. Smith from ESPN is saying, where he's heard these things? Is any of that concrete, saying that there is a little animosity there, or saying I want to go upside his, slap him and all this kind of stuff? Is that, what do you think about that? Is that just smoke?
Let's do this.
We got to get into that later.
Let's table this until later on in the show. But go ahead, G, before we start.
Real quick with Chris Paul. He hasn't signed anything with Houston. He was traded there, so they have his bird rights. So he can get the big extension from Houston. But if he's traded to Cleveland, then they get his bird rights, and they give him the big extension. Houston can trade him, but not until after, like, December or something.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. It has to be some kind
of... That don't matter.
True.
I feel you. That don't matter. That's even better, because what we say, the NBA don't crank up till win.
Right.
You're right.
So now you're talking Chris Paul, Derrick Rose in the backcourt in Cleveland?
Yeah. Mm. That's something to think about.
All
right. Story number
four.
They
both going to get hurt. They both miss games. They do.
All right. G-Money, this for you and Hancock. Jordan Spieth wins the British Open, his third major. Finally, he gets on the board. Is this going to propel him to go on a run now as far as this getting majors and things of that nature?
You said it's Jordan Spieth, not Eldrick Woods.
Exactly.
No, not Eldrick.
Okay, you can go to the next topic.
Exactly. I got something on this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We can't say he's not at the top of the golf game right now, right? He's ruling.
I mean, there's still...
It's people, but yeah. he's what? When his third major, he was 22?
He came back from 9.
21, 22.
He came back from 9 to win by 3.
Oh, fine and dandy. Numbers don't matter. But he's like, he has 3 majors, and he's like 22. So he can get that. He getting all the accolades he deserves. But let's talk about it. What draw is he?
Did you watch any of it?
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't compel us to watch anymore.
Do you know what Jordan Spieth looks like?
Thank you. He looks like...
I don't.
Listen, you know what he looks like? Go to Buckhead and walk in Buckhead for an hour and you see 1,000 Jordan Spieths. You see what I'm saying? Everybody looks right. like Jordan Spieth. Right. He's nothing special. So... There will never be a draw in golf ever like Eldridge. So golf is going to suffer. I don't care how good the player is. It's still never going to be a draw of Tiger Woods. Same way. Yeah, did y'all know Wimbledon just happened? One of the biggest tennis tournaments ever, Wimbledon, just went on and nobody knew. Yeah, why? Because one person was not in it.
Yeah, Serena wasn't there. Yeah. Even though Venus made a run.
Venus is Jordan Spieth.
Wow, that's rough.
But you see, she's a winner.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree. I think the thing with golf is, like you say, you have to have something that drives the narrative for another demographic to come in.
No, it has to be a black person. Let's keep it real. If there's no dominant, prominent black person in the sport that has personality that everybody is behind, it's going to fail.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Because half of the people are going to root against him.
Bingo.
And then that demographic that he's bringing in is like, yeah, that's ours.
Exactly.
You know,
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, it is what
Keep
it is.
Keep on going. You got
right.
it like that.
Yeah. All right, the Sporting News put out their top 10, and we're going to go through the top 5 real quick. At number 5, we got Clemson this preseason, college football. Number 4, we got Florida State. Number 3, we got Ohio State. And Urban Meyer talking about the Big Ten and his comparison to the SEC. Number 2, USC Trojan. Could be shocking to some folks. And of course, number 1,
whoop, whoop.
Big Bad Alabama.
Man, play my theme music, man.
Big Bad Alabama won in the preseason poll. So my question is real quick so we can get to break. Are you shocked or surprised, or does it even matter about the top 5 at this point?
I can't say that it doesn't matter because it's something that we all talk about every week. It drives college football to have these folks. As much as people downplay it, you look for it every week. And we're trying to see who's getting established or whatever. Yeah, it won't really matter to the meat of the schedule, but at least, like, what I do love about college football is that you have some cross-section, highly ranked teams play early. Like Bama and Florida State are playing, and then I can't even call the other ones that are going to be playing, but there's a couple other ones that will be cross-section games. So, yeah, it matters, but it is what it is. Just bragging. That's all it is. Early bragging.
It sets a barometer.
Right.
Okay. That's what a poll is. It's a barometer setter. It lets you know who's who and where's where, because you got to jockey for position starting in the beginning. Don't get it twisted. This poll matters. Okay. Yeah, we have seen teams start outside the poll or very low in the poll, have a huge jump and push through it. But all in all, at the end of the day, who's there was who's there now.
Right.
Yeah.
These games will matter.
Exactly.
Even a loss to one of these teams, if they're finishing and being good later, it helps their record toward the end. It helps them in the polls later on.
So when the Eastern or Western Michigan goes
undefeated
and this team has lost, Florida State only losses to Alabama the first game of the season, or vice versa,
right,
Bama... No.
Western Michigan can't get in.
You're not getting in.
Exactly.
Now, to also just put a little nugget in there, Penn State is number 6, which we talked about last year and how they kind of got, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they are actually ahead of Michigan, which is number 9. if you look in the Sporting News top 10. So I think this may have just been a favor to get Penn State into a position, like D. Will said, to where when it comes down to the nooks and cranny at the end of the season, you would have said that Penn State was at least ranked right outside the top five. So if that question comes up again this year with Penn State, they got some leverage at this point.
Right.
So, but that's going to do it for the hot news. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, got Coach Last Chance U coming up, talking about some of the players and some of the things that's going on. So check that out. You're listening to Sports Roundtable and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
There's only so much time left to try the new seasonal Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich at Chick-fil-A. Delicious grilled chicken, bacon, and cheese slathered in zesty Smokehouse Barbecue sauce. It won't be around much longer.
Sports Roundtable.
What would you do if you had a twin? What prank would you do if you had a twin?
I'd be cool if vacation time. If I, you know, you need a couple days. Hey, look, bro. Give me the day. Give me this weekend. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be cool. The wives would probably be in trouble. I wouldn't do it to wives, but the girlfriends would be in trouble.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable. We're back up. Thanks for tuning in. Each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. WRN, check us out on AM 1100 radio. You can also check us out live on the internet, srtradio.com. And while we wait on Coach to give us a call, now we can get more into this Kyrie thing and see what's going on. Han, you had some thoughts about Kyrie. You wanted to ask the questions about what D. Will had a definitive conspiracy theory with all of this going on. You know, Kyrie.
Well, you the dude guy. What are you hearing from your source?
Well, this is the thing. Kyrie was young when he first got to the league. And this is what I'm hearing, is that before LeBron got there, you didn't give him any help. Now though, I don't even know if LeBron is going to even be there. I still don't know if I'm gonna get any help. And all the numbers that I've done, you know, with leading the team in shots, attempts, hitting game-winning shots to win championships, the accolades just doesn't go with the performance, is what his camp is saying. If there was no LeBron on the team, mm-hmm. then the accolades for being a...
What are we talking about?
I'm just telling you what his camp is saying.
I dig what you're saying, but he would get accolades.
He would get the kind of love that Russ... I mean, we're talking about...
That's what it's about.
We're talking about getting...
You know what, D.
Now, let me ask you this.
But I understand how
this is what he's saying. How can Isaiah Thomas get $204 million?
When his contract come up.
Not that.
What are you going to... Yeah, you will.
If he stayed in Cleveland.
If he stayed in Cleveland.
But why are you leaving Cleveland when you go to the finals every year? You take the most shots on the team. That's my point. So it's all about the love, the accolades, the pat me on the back, the millennial.
He don't want to live in Cleveland, man.
AAU aspect of basketball.
He doesn't want to live in Cleveland, man.
Listen, you go to Cleveland for 7 months a year. You can live anywhere in the world with this $200 million.
Don't
want to
live in Cleveland.
I'm not buying that, bro.
Look, I'm just saying, look, if LeBron leaves next year, that team is not built for him to win.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
He will be back.
Obviously, he doesn't care about winning, so we can't go there.
But I'm just saying,
he got a ring
this
already.
This might be part of it. If you're hearing all the time that, okay, just like with this show, I know he leaving after next week. Okay, so then it's like, okay, we got to find another point guard. Somebody got to run the show. Now, one of us might be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? It might be a bad nice guy. I think we can get back with
it.
But what I'm saying is, he knows next year if LeBron leaves, they're back to purgatory.
But anyway, he's basically going to be in purgatory. He wanted. Did you see the teams he came out with? I'm pretty sure G can pull them up, but
Minnesota, Miami, New York, and San Antonio.
Besides San Antonio,
New York, because he
playing
to
in
go
New
home.
York, man, yeah. In a full garden, rocking and everything. Going
the Michael
on
Vick
New
experience.
York.
The Michael Vick experience.
Now here comes the accolades. Here comes the love. Here comes the your king.
And it would be more difficult if he didn't have a title already. But he has one.
That's all it takes. One title, you good. I'm good. I got you.
I mean, he got more than Carl Malone.
And if you get one early in his career,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He can go chase money or try to do whatever he wants, try to build his own legacy. And then later in his career, if he had won another championship, then he'll
now I can't count his money. I can't count his thoughts. I can't. You know, that's his thing. I'm just telling you what his camp is saying.
Well, why? But my point is, do you see where my issue is coming in?
I feel you.
Oh, I feel you.
But you acting more like old school than me now.
I am.
And I can't even understand what that's about.
I just don't understand.
That time.
Why you got to say it?
LeBron started this.
No.
When he started this two-year deal thing and everybody moving around.
That's the NBA that we live in.
That's what we live in now. It's all fair game now. It's a different day and time.
Well, let me ask you this. With the numbers that he put up, wouldn't he be still compared with John Wall, Dame Lillard?
Without a doubt. If he has all squad, Curry? Yes.
And that's
what I'm saying.
But he's compared to? But what does that mean?
Because he doesn't get the love, dog. I mean, everybody know Uncle Drew or whatever, but it's like, well, he doing that because LeBron with it.
Yeah.
And that's the key. That's what it always is. Oh, look what happened. Look, what do I always say when LeBron is out? What do I say about Cleveland?
Oh, Kyrie finna go hang.
But they 3-28 LeBron is out.
No doubt.
So it still goes negative against him no matter what. So he might as well be his own man and do his thing. He already got a title. He got a title in Cleveland with that roster.
And he had the game-winning shot in the title.
Right. He contributed in that series. But we looking now, if LeBron leaves after this year, Cleveland is nothing.
They're dead.
Yeah, ain't no doubt.
So he might as well. He wants out. He might as well go to a better situation than lose.
Okay, well, here's the
now
thing.
Now, they talk about comparing that situation to like a Scottie Pippen. When Mike left, Scottie said, well, we going to keep winning the championship. And that didn't happen.
They got to the conference finals.
They got to the conference finals. Yeah. But New York was good that year. New York had a good squad. But here's my thing, man. I understand everything you're saying. But for Kyrie, listen to me, brother. You look very fraudulent out here. That's just my opinion. He looks very fraudulent as to what your motives are as a teammate and as a basketball player. Because if I'm in the locker room with you and I'm finna go out here on this court, I know you. Listen, the difference between what Russell Westbrook does and Kyrie, you know when Westbrook touched the court, everything he's doing is for one purpose. That's to win the game. He ain't doing it to get a triple-double. He trying to win. We all know he pouts when he don't win. He throws temper tantrums. When I'm on the court and I'm in the trenches with Kyrie, I know he ain't there for me.
But so what do you think about Kyrie? What's your opinion of Kyrie when he on the floor by himself?
My opinion of Kyrie has changed since this story has dropped.
So, but that's what I'm saying. But before then, the whole thing was he's still a second, but now.
Oh, I've always felt that.
The same thing, Westbrook was fighting with Durant over who to be.
Totally
Kobe
agree.
Was fighting with Shaq over who to be. Look, my whole point changed. I held on for a long time, even after LeBron left, to like, man, I wouldn't do that. That's the game has changed.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that what Kyrie is doing is wrong. I just think the reasoning for him doing it is wrong.
The thing about it, I just think it's some other things that hadn't come out.
I need to hear those stories.
Yeah, that could possibly tender some of these.
And let's just say, LeBron is a diva, man. He's a diva, man.
The greatest player in the world.
But he's still a diva.
Kobe was a diva. Shaq was a diva. Mike was a diva.
And they all became their own man to be their diva also, right?
But Pimp never left Mike.
Pimp was never considered to be.
How many ships he got?
He got six.
How many
got by himself?
None. How many Mike got without him? See, so you see what I'm saying?
Good point.
How many LeBron got without another second banana?
None. Zero. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
But those guys stirred the drink, though.
Lamar never wanted to leave Kobe.
But Kobe wanted to leave Shaq.
He did what?
and he got Shaq out of there and won two titles.
True.
Went to three straight finals.
But the difference is...
And I keep telling y'all, Kyrie got Mamba mentality.
Oh, I understand. But this is the thing, D-Will, and this is the thing. Kobe can move Shaq out of L.A. Kyrie can't move LeBron out of Cleveland.
No.
That's why he decided, well, look,
yeah,
I'm up against it. Because if he goes to San Antonio, it's going to be a problem.
All right, listen. What is he up against? Going to the finals?
No, he up against knowing LeBron out of there next year.
Because he going
listen,
to L.A.
Listen, if that came out and if the story was Kyrie believes LeBron is leaving after next season, goes to front office and asks to be traded, I am good with that.
And look.
And that's what we're waiting on.
I don't think that's coming.
How about if you found out Harris was looking to get you out of there to get somebody else in there?
That's different.
Okay, so Kyrie was in a trade that he knew nothing about going to Phoenix.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was set to go.
So he can use that information.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Kyrie, like, I should be an untouchable.
Ain't nobody gonna touch him.
LeBron is.
That's the only one.
Kobe was.
They didn't have a.
Ain't no more untouchables in the league.
Kyrie untouchable. I mean, Kawhi untouchable.
Hold on, go ahead, D.
Kawhi is untouchable in San Antonio. As long as he won't be there.
We gotta consider what happened with the GM situation.
He didn't hire somebody
for weeks. Chauncey didn't want the job because he tried to lowball him. Like, well, there's no stability with
Cleveland.
So that's why he considered Miami. Pat Riley and Spoelstra are going to be there.
Oh, now we're giving him too much credit. We're giving him too much credit now.
He picked San Antonio because he wanted to play with Kawhi.
He's still second fiddle.
But play for Greg Popovich.
Now, when it comes down to get the game winner.
That ball's going to Kawhi.
Man, please.
You just said Kawhi's untouchable.
Yeah, but.
So he ain't going to get the last.
Until Kyrie gets
it. So listen. Hold on. So
you didn't tell me you going to let Kawhi take the shot.
He better. Yes. If Kawhi Leonard lets Kyrie come there and that ball don't go to him, Kawhi should act the fool because he's untouchable.
You got A-type mentality, you got B-type mentality. Kawhi is a B-type mentality type person.
I think he's an A now because he's getting that Mamba mentality.
He got to be. He's a de facto A.
You know what I'm saying?
He trains with Kobe.
He's getting that Mamba mentality. Let me ask you this. If
Kyrie came down there.
Listen, every team that he chose was on the coach at the Olympic teams except Pat Riley.
Yep.
Right? Popovich.
Yeah. Popovich, Thibodeau.
Miami's on the
list. Except New York. He just want to go home for that.
But yeah. Miami's on the list. And then with Minnesota,
he's friends with Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Jimmy Butler went to Thibodeau and's like, do whatever you can to try to bring him in. So.
Now, yeah, because they were, when they went to the Olympics.
Thibodeau was the defensive guy on the Olympics.
Kyrie, my thing is,
if he goes to Minnesota.
What they got to give up, though, bro?
Reports saying that they go get rid of Wiggins.
That's the Wiggins.
They go send him back to Cleveland.
Yeah, it will be Wiggins.
I'm Minnesota. Ooh. If I'm Cleveland, I got to get more than Wiggins for Kyrie.
What is Jeff T thinking about all this?
He done got his money, so I don't.
Who's that?
Jeff T.
He don't care. Now listen. If this was Jeff T. we were talking about, I would understand. You feel what I'm saying? But Kyrie should not have to do that. This is a Jeff T. type of move.
Kyrie has a title, man. I'm telling you, it's his whole mentality is seeing what Kobe did. I'm telling you, man. He FaceTimed Kobe after they won the title in the locker room.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the Mamba mentality, man. He wants his own.
Kawhi got that mentality, man.
I don't know, G.
All right, man.
You think so?
I don't know, man.
All right, man. Well, let's move right along. Let's get into this SRT fun bag. Fun bag coming
fun
up.
Bag.
Let's get it, baby.
Woo, woo.
SRT fun bag. Go.
Make up your mind. No. Think. Since you're thinking now, go on. Think.
No,
is it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not.
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag, sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. If you're looking for a good old cigar, a good smooth stick, please contact me. And you can go to Facebook, Facebook.com/BigBoys.com. We also on Twitter and IG. So check us out. We actually doing a celebrity golf tournament this Friday.
What?
Celebrity golf tournament this Friday. Brownsmill. So y'all come out and join us if you have the time. Brownsmill, man. We're going to be out there, man, doing some cigars. So keep that on the lookout. All right. SRT Fun Bag. Got some good questions. First question. If you had to choose, Facebook Live, y'all make sure y'all interact with this. If you had to choose three Halloween candies that you can eat for the rest of your life without getting any cavities or gaining any weight, which three would it be?
Had to be Snickers.
Okay.
The little fun size. I'm going to suck for them little candy corns, too.
Okay.
And man, I just love Nihilator
Snickers and candy.
Yeah, that's it.
Alright, G, what you got? No cavities. You don't gain any weight. You can eat it for the rest of your life.
Probably go the Reese's Cups.
Oh, okay.
Man, I miss Reese's.
Twizzlers.
Okay.
And Twix. That'll be throwing.
Okay.
Twix.
Okay. All right, D. Williams.
Halloween candy.
Woo! Halloween candy.
Boy. Hey, I need the packets of Smarties.
The Smarties.
I need Smarties, the little twist on Smarties. I need my candy corns. And then I'm going to need the variety bag of chocolate, like the Snickers, the Twix, the Reese's. They come all in the bag that you buy and you just dump in
three
the
Three Musketeers.
Yes. Talk to me. I need that little fun side. I need that. I need candy corns. And I need Smarties. And I'm
good. You're good.
Wow. All right, I'm going Nestle Crunch.
Okay.
Twix, Reese's Cups.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you.
We
like
got
this.
Some Twix, Snickers, Kit Kats from
Mookie. Yeah, Kit Kats.
See, that's why I did the variety bag for Halloween. Because I'm getting all that in there.
Oh, my God. All right, question number two.
Number two.
A place you would love to go that you haven't been yet.
Whew. To the bank to withdraw $1 million. I have not been there. To the bank to make that big withdrawal. Let's see. I want to see. You know, I can't leave the country.
Oh, he not right now.
I kind of want to see Hawaii, man. But
that's America, man.
But that's still you got to leave the continental United States.
Yeah, you got to leave the
you
land.
Can't get there on a bridge.
No, you can't drive.
You can't drive.
You can't drive.
So you're going to Hawaii?
I guess it'd be Hawaii.
All right, D. Place you would love to go to Kevin Bean.
I will. ATL Strip Club, baby. We got to work that out.
Oh, we can make that happen.
So we can leave the country.
Yeah. Any place. Anyway, yeah, place. Yeah. I mean, it
Jamaica.
It can be if you, you ain't never seen your dad, it can be at his house.
Say if you ain't seen your daddy.
If you ain't never seen your daddy.
Greenville, Mississippi. What you got, G?
Oh, y'all are terrible. Okay. I've actually never been to like the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Or like Costa Rica. Basically the Caribbean over there.
Okay. D Will?
I'm going to Bora Bora, Tahiti. Man, Just look it up.
You seen them tsunamis and all that kind of stuff they get?
It don't matter. Mm-hmm. I am going because that serenity, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets real quiet when that water leak out. Come back. I ain't going to be able to do it. I'm going to stay right. I ain't going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I got to go to Bora Bora.
I'm with two hands. I'm going to Hawaii.
Yeah, go Hawaii, man.
Yeah.
We're going to see. We hang out with Barack.
Hold on, man. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm going to Hawaii.
You ain't like, it ain't nothing going to happen to you in Hawaii.
Yeah, you probably right.
Yeah.
Like,
I get Diz off the hula.
No. You going to have that earthquake going to happen and that volcano going to erupt.
I ain't saying I'm going to live there. I just want to go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just going.
We're not going to volcano season.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got to go to Bora Bora.
Uh-huh.
All right. Question number three.
Terson
this
Kato.
Is a good one here.
I see you, Nature.
If you was giving out this award for best actor, would you give it to Denzel Washington, Malcolm X, Will Smith, Muhammad Ali, Jamie Foxx, Ray Charles?
Whew. I think I'm going Denzel Malcolm, man. I'm going Denzel Malcolm. It's a hard choice, man. I think all of them are phenomenal. But I'm going with Denzel and Malcolm.
Because
he had to change character from street thug, whatever, and then become activist icon. So I'm going Denzel.
Okay. G-Mine?
I will also go with Denzel as Malcolm X. It's his best performance. If no one has seen Malcolm X, if you got, you know, 3-4 hours to kill.
Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I would recommend watching it.
All right, D.
I'm going Jamie Foxx and Ray.
Let's go.
Gotta go Ray. Because for him, just the dynamic that he went through by plastering his eyes down during the whole movie and actually doing the movie blind, like, for him to go through that, endure that, and really just turn into Ray Charles and mimic him the way he did, that was awesome. He deserved an Oscar for it, I tell you that.
That was, you know, these questions be coming at, they be so hard, but this is a hard one. Malcolm X was a great movie, and Denzel did a great job.
Awesome job.
I think with Ray and Jamie Foxx, you just didn't know the difference.
You didn't.
I mean, all of his is womanizing and playing the piano and the drug. He had so much going on and he didn't miss a beat and none of it.
Hey, I'm not.
I don't think none of these could be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's
I think
just
all of
appeal
them,
to you.
What was the first choice you gave?
Well, it was Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali with Will Smith.
Oh, okay, Muhammad Ali, that's right. Yeah, he did good, but I don't think that movie was done as well
as the other ones. Yeah, so I'm going with you, D. I'm going with Ray Charles because it just...
I got lost in both of them. I got lost in Denzel actually becoming Malcolm. He looked like Malcolm to me, and the same thing with Ray, with Jamie. They did it so well. Almost was like, man, that's them.
Yeah, you exactly. Know,
so. And you got to understand, Jamie Foxx came out and did a song singing like Ray Charles.
He did a lot of the songs in there.
Exactly. I'm just talking about the one Gold Digger with Kanye.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he sound, you thought that was Ray Charles on a hip-hop track.
Yep. Walt liking. Everything. Just the whole, you know, you can't go wrong. I just think Jamie had a lot more attributes to the story. To make him
he was also
more
able to
more
sit
versatile.
He was also able to sit with Ray Charles before he passed, before the movie.
Yeah.
So he was able to get that tutelage and
yeah,
soak
job.
That up.
Great job.
And, you know, Denzel wasn't able to do that.
Exactly.
And the other two weren't. So.
All right, that was a great question. All right, question number four. You have to choose this food to eat for the rest of your life. Soul food, Chinese food, seafood, barbecue, Italian food.
Soul food.
Chinese food.
Seafood.
Barbecue. Italian food.
Italian. Well, we can mark out Italian. I guess I'm going to have to go soul food, man. Soul food. I'm going soul food.
Okay.
Keep it 100.
All right, G. I know that's a hard one.
I would want to go soul food. But the way you phrased the question, I was like, isn't barbecue like soul food?
In a sense.
In a sense.
It's hearty.
Soul food is more oxtails.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more
collard greens,
cornbread, a lot of sides.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
Barbecue is just
cornbread and greens.
Yeah,
candy, a lot of yams,
baked beans, and,
yeah,
and barbecue ribs, and yeah. I mean, you know,
you got
I
ham,
mean, you know the difference.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, I'll stick with soul food on that. And now I'm hungry.
I don't think no cornbread coming with no barbecue.
Nah, ain't no cornbread coming with no barbecue. But here, when you say a barbecue, are we talking about just off the grill?
However you...
Like just barbecue, or we talking about...
There you go, Nature.
Like this, ribs with sauce. Because, you know, barbecue is different. Like, I can go outside and put some on the grill and be barbecuing, and I never use barbecue sauce. You feel what I'm saying?
I feel
like, I don't.
But like, it's in the barbecue family.
It's in the barbecue family. So if you asking me what Chinese is out, because I don't know what they cooking. What else, what was the other?
Seafood.
Italian's
soul
out.
Soul food.
Italian's out. Seafood, ooh.
Seafood is cool, too. I like seafood, but I got to.
Yeah, it's just my thing. Ain't no sides coming with
right,
seafood. I ain't
right.
Eating up with meat.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the same thing with barbecue. Like, you can put a lot on the grill. Like, I could put some asparagus and some corn on the cob out there. But I got to go soul food.
Yeah,
soul food.
Yeah, I got to go soul
yeah.
food. Cause you can have, it's so much variety in there.
Yes,
like you can eat.
Yeah.
I can still have some barbecue ribs.
Exactly.
Soul food.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
There you go. So obviously I'm going soul food.
I see
food.
Cuz soul food.
I'm going soul food, man. I grew up on it. The Bankhead Ledge, and my mom was a chef, so
yes, she was.
She did the soul food up, so it was all good. So I'm going soul food. I think that's unanimous. And I see on Facebook Live they. Shay say she going seafood.
Mm.
Dana say she going soul food.
Mm.
Shay say the seafood is free.
Hey.
The sea is free. So
I heard that.
Hey. Man, ain't that like some good old crab legs?
I got a barbecue. I got a couple of soul food. One said soul food because he never seen a Chinese funeral. I see it good.
All right, here we go. If you had to get rid of one of these things, which would you get rid of? Social media or your cell phone?
Aren't they one and the same?
Yeah, I was just finna say, what am I do with my cell phone if I ain't got social media?
Talk on, text on.
See, I had to get rid of social media.
Yeah, I would definitely get rid of social media. You ain't gotta ask me. Social media is done. Dang, that's a lot of time.
I would get rid of social media. Like, I don't interact on social media as much as is.
Right.
Like, when I'm walking around with my laptop just typing on, you know, talking on Facebook.
Or you can take incoming calls on social media.
Yeah, you got a Facebook phone.
But obviously, man, I social media has ruined a lot of lies and a lot of attitude.
Hey,
so.
speaking of that, a real quick story since we in here. It's sad, but it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. And this was gonna be my you big dummy, but this 18-year-old girl is Instagram living while driving, right? She's a Latino. She throwing up gang signs. She drunk. She ends up getting in a car accident.
I saw that.
Right?
Wow.
The whole car accident is recorded on this live video, right? After the wreck, she somehow has the wherewithal to go through the wreck, go back to her phone and grab her phone and shows her sister, her 14-year-old sister, head split open, dying in front of them.
I didn't see that.
My sister is dead. I don't care. We still out here. Peace to all my people. Y'all sitting here watching my sister die. It's okay, baby. It's okay. Rubbing her head. Her head is split open. She's rubbing.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, but listen. She does it all on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
She gets in a car accident. Her sister died. The young 14-year-old girl died. She passed away. Gets in a wreck. Has the wherewithal to find your phone in a car accident and continue to record for another 6 minutes. Not call the police, but record. Another you big dummy story. Four teenagers, 16 and 14, standing outside. Oldest one was 18. Watch a disabled man drown in a pond for 10 minutes without calling the police. Not only did they watch him drown and say, oh, he dead. This is the commentary. Oh, he dead. He dead. Oh, you did this to yourself. We ain't helping you. They didn't find the body till 3 days later.
Millenniums.
Crazy.
All because of social media. So if it's anything that we need to get rid of, it's social media.
Wow. All right, that's a great question. All right, this is a bonus, and this is sort of like a
bonus question.
This is a man question. Are you breaking man code if you go to watch Girls Trip?
If it is, I already broke it. And I laughed from the time I sat down.
Yeah, you broke the man.
I'm sorry, G.
Yeah, you broke.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
I went.
You on punishment. You on 7 day man well, off.
Yeah, okay. G.
I think if you, as a man, if you go by yourself to see Girls Trip.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's pretty
I'm
bad.
Not giving you no pass to go see Girls Trip. No, I'm not doing it. No pass is given. Listen, my wife asked me, will you go to the movies with me? I looked at her and she said, I'm sorry.
Way you go, Mookie. That's all right. Mookie represent, baby.
Yeah, Mookie.
I went.
Yeah, Mookie.
And I enjoyed
it. I'd be glad this WRN 1100.
And they got the fighting in the theater. So yeah. It was crook.
Hold on. Did you get it on social media?
No, I can't watch.
Go ahead, G.
I thought you were talking about something else.
All right, man. But that's it for the SRT Fun Bag. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for always interacting with us.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fun Bag crew.
We appreciate it. Now let's go end our first hour of the show. About to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got G's Extra Credit. And then we got Deshaun Tate coming up. We talking NBA Summer League. And we're going to continue our discussion with the NBA as our Sports Roundtable discussion continues. You're listening to Sports Roundtable and SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Hapeville, AM 1100.
Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Dad, I'm really afraid of what's happening with the economy. There's too much civil unrest, too much terrorism, and unstable global markets. I'm tired of riding the ups and downs of the market. It reminds me of 2008. I was caught off guard then. How do I prepare for the worst now? What'll I do if the dollar collapses?
You gotta stop worrying, son, and take action. It's time to think about a precious metals private storage IRA or an investment in silver with the Gold Silver Group. Like I said before, you insure your house, your car, your kids, and your life. Don't you think it's time to insure your wealth?
Call Gold Silver Group at 800-943-0834. Learn how easy it is to set up your own precious metals private storage IRA and how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. Gold Silver Group can satisfy any of your precious metals investment needs. Receive your gold and silver fully insured and privately delivered to your door. Call Gold Silver Group, 800-943-0834, 800-943-0834.
Sports Roundtable.
Hey, what's up with the male rompers? Cam Newton, Young Dro, male rompers. Like, yeah. These men walk around with camel toe. True enough, they are. They're a romper. What is going on?
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Yo.
What up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right?
And we got Tiff, hand in the building, HO and
what
Coach.
Up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up. Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the king, fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And thanks for tuning in to the second hour of the show. We got some good stuff coming up, second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in the first hour. We had a hot Kyrie Irving LeBron discussion. We talked fun bag. Jordan Spieth didn't get any love. And we snuck a U Big Dummy in there. A couple of you big dummies.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah, so we had a great first half of the show. But now coming up, we going to give y'all some of these secondary stories, starting with my main man, G Money, with his extra credit. G, let him know what's going on.
We know here on the Sports Roundtable that we leave you wanting more each and every week. Well, I, G Money, am here to help, to give you the info on the news you might have missed. This is G's Extra Credit.
All right, welcome to G's Extra Credit, brought to you by ByTheTimeYouHearThis.com, a music podcast that you can listen to on iTunes, Google Play Music, and any aggregate podcast site you can find. All right, so do any of you guys play poker?
No.
I do. Great.
All right, well, if you play or not, you can, if you know someone who does know how to play, you can possibly make some money off of them.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So Scott Blumenstein,
yeah,
who won the World Series of Poker last week, one of his friends, Peter Girolamo, well, Scott Blumenstein won $8.1 million by winning the World Series of Poker.
Yes, he won the Texas No Limit Hold'em World Series Championship.
So with his friend Peter, with a $60 investment, turned that into $40,000.
Well, actually, by sponsoring him. Actually, the story is it was four friends that gave him $60 each.
Yep.
They gave him a total of $120. So to get his entry fee into the World Series of Poker. Now, the entry fee into the World Series of Poker is $10,000.
Right.
They gave him $120. He ends up winning the World Series of Poker $8.1 million. So when you calculate that, he's going to bring home about half of that. All right. So he's going to bring home $4.5, almost $5 million for the after taxes. He forked over $40,000 each to the friends, so they turned $60 into $40,000. Now, that's not even 1% of what he made. Now, I understand he may have owed other people, but that's the story that came out. $60 wow. Turns into $40,000.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's not return. Bad. One thing I've learned from this story is D. Will rather study poker than baseball.
Indeed.
Without a doubt.
So, anyone looking to make some extra money?
So you can bet on you can bet on them like you betting on the racehorse.
Nah, they gave him money to enter the tournament.
They gave him money to enter the tournament, but if he won money, they would get a piece of that.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that.
So that's why, if you know someone who's really good or who thinks they're really good.
But gee, how many people enter the World Series of Poker? It's thousands. Like thousands.
Yeah, shouldn't be hard to find somebody in.
I'd rather put my $60 on Alabama to win the national championship.
And the year before, he needed help with the $560 buy-in for another tournament, but he won $200,000 in that same tournament.
So how he's a poker player. That's why he always broke. Oh, why you always need $50 from somebody?
Wow. That's crazy.
All right. So another story is, well, this can be turned into LeBron's going to L.A. He invested 5 years ago into a pizza chain called Blaze Pizza. And now his share, he invested $1 million. And now his share is now worth $25 million.
My word.
And that's in L.A.?
Well, it was based out of what was it based out? I think it was based out of Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And they just franchised it. Yeah,
and they franchised. They're putting one in the Staples Center.
My word.
That's what's making it. Oh, LeBron's going to LA now.
Okay. So hey, whether he goes there or not, he making money in LA.
Right.
So now you're talking about now this. You know what all of you saying right now is this is Jay-Z's 444 album. That is the perfect example of Jay-Z's. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. But now it's worth like $25 million. How do I feel? Dumbo. You feel what I'm saying? So like LeBron invested $1 million into something and now his return has been $25 million. I wonder how long did it take him to get, like how long is this franchise?
Five years. He made that investment in 2012.
Lord have mercy. How does it feel to have that type of money?
And the company is worth $250 million, so he's got a 10% stake in it. But actually his stake in the business may be worth possibly $40 million.
Wow.
So either way,
that's making money while you sleep.
That's the good time. Money while you sleep. Yeah. That's good sleep.
That's good sleep right there. That's good sleep.
Matter of fact, I can't wait to go to sleep.
Like right now, I'm scared to go to sleep here tonight. Good sleep.
All right, G, go ahead, man.
All right, so the last story here, it was just something I saw here from the Big Lead. They put together their all NFL team based on what conference they played in college. And so they started with the Pac-12. Their quarterback was John Elway out of Stanford. Their running backs were Marcus Allen. It was Marcus Allen out of USC. And the wide receivers were Steve Smith, James Lofton, and Charlie Taylor. So I don't know if y'all have heard of all of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know who Charlie Taylor is.
Yeah, I know.
At tight end, they had Tony Gonzalez. And some other highlights. Defensive end, they had Terrell Suggs and Mark Gastineau, who both went to Arizona State. And at linebacker, Junior Seau, Hardy Nickerson, and Lance Briggs.
Okay.
So they'll be doing a series of all NFL teams based on the conference you played in college. They started with the Pac-12. They had their Big 12 one also this past week.
So the SEC is coming.
It's coming.
Okay.
So that can be a future segment. Exactly. Talk about the SEC all NFL team.
That's going to be tough. There ain't going to be a lot of Bama players on there. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, there might be.
Who?
Joe Namath.
Kenny Stabler.
They won't win quarterback.
Sean Alexander.
We got Peyton Manning coming out of Tennessee.
Yeah, Peyton going to get the quarterback. Yeah,
or
the quarterback.
Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas might make
it.
You might even get Biscuit on there. The running back's going to be Bo Jackson and Herschel.
Yeah.
That's
hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. Julio's at wide receiver. Think.
At AJ.
He got
on
a
the
shot
other
to
side.
Be there. Without. Yeah, he got a shot to be there. Julio's a beast.
Yeah. Or tight end, they'll probably have Ozzie. Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome might be there.
Ozzie probably will be there.
That's a good one. He probably.
So basically, we doing our list and we go send it in.
Yeah, we need to do our own. Need to. That's what we need to do. We need to do our own.
We just go send it in. All right, G, what else you got?
All right, and the last story. I didn't see this, but did y'all see Michael Phelps race a quote unquote shark?
No.
Yeah, I heard about it.
CGI.
I was disappointed. I thought it was going to be a real shark.
No, it's
a pre-recorded CGI shark.
But you do know sharks eat people.
I thought they would have like kept him safe, where he's not going back to the Olympics. He really has nothing to lose.
That's the dumbest thing that people say. It was a shark attack. No, you in his living room. If a shark eats you, you came to him.
Hey,
you see what I'm saying?
You came in here and just put your feet all.
Yeah,
oh
you
my
all.
Couch.
Yeah, you all look dirty. Number most. Oh, yeah, you. You need to get eaten.
You urinating all in the pool.
Look, I pull for alligators and sharks when people go in their territory and they mess with tigers and lions. I love it because I'm like, get him, Mr. Lion. Please get him because it makes no sense to me.
Hey, I gotta send you a video of the family that killed the lion and tried to take a picture with it, and then the other lion came and attacked it.
Gee, what else you got, boy? They crank it up.
And the last story I got here is, well, there's another story of celebrities playing basketball. The Timberwolves put out a video of Dave Chappelle. He missed like 30 jumpers in a row while shooting on their court. But the video's like 4 years old, so like the timing of it is kind of strange.
He ain't got no belt.
Yeah.
His game is not improved. Exactly. He has not been in the gym working.
But yeah, that's all I got for G's Extra Credit, brought to you by bythetimeyouhearthis.com.
There you go. All right, man. G's Extra Credit. And for all those listeners, we do not promote animal killing people on this show.
Hancock, but if you go into that, we like to watch it.
Yeah, we just expressing our, at least Hancock expressing his opinion on what he likes to see. So
I'm with you, Hancock.
You with him?
Yeah. Main name behind.
When the last time some shark ate so bad on Peachtree?
When the last time a lion attacked me, Brian, down 85?
Exactly. So if you apparently are somewhere you don't need to be.
They actually did have a zebra cross over in the expressway a couple of years ago in Atlanta. So
yeah, somebody had to bring him in a truck down there.
Yeah, man. Somebody let him loose.
Somebody brought him to the party.
One of them sheeps.
He was just trying to get a ride home.
There it is.
He was looking for an Uber.
He just looked for Uber.
All right, man. Enough of that. Thanks, G, for your G's Extra Credit. Now it's time to get into one of my favorite parts of the show, man. It's time to get into the SRT Roundtable Discussion, and we got a special guest in the building. He's here all the way from Las Vegas. He's cooler here than it is there. But my main man, Deshaun Tate, is in the building.
As always, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. So we got to get into it, but let's go ahead and do this intro for the SRT Roundtable Discussion, baby. Do you know how we do it?
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Boy, G booming with his music tonight. SRT Roundtable Discussion, sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new, used, or pre-owned car, please contact Jay's at 770-496-0339. 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. Mention SRT or Sports Roundtable. You get 10% off your down payment. Deshaun Tate is in the building. You've been in Vegas. We see y'all over the internet. Folks taking pictures with you. You're not taking pictures with them.
As always.
You know. So first, how was it? I know you enjoyed it. You probably didn't want to come back. You was in basketball heaven. So tell us about the trip.
I got two things.
Okay.
Before we get into Las Vegas, I want to make sure I touch on this.
Okay.
Because y'all done said a couple things in the last segment that I have to
go ahead
make sure that I address.
Go ahead.
All right. Michael Phelps, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
All right. If that ain't the most white people stuff. And I can say that because I'm half and half.
I don't know where,
but I know I'm half and half. Got a line somewhere.
Not what half?
I went to go see the movie 47 Meters Down.
Oh, okay.
Or I think that's what it's called, 47 Meters or something like that, yeah. With the shark. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
White folks kill me. White folks kill me. I can say that. I just want to get that out the way because you ain't never hear. There's a reason why you don't never hear about no bros.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Outside of that.
Thank you.
We got to get to Las Vegas.
There you go.
But y'all was talking about man code.
Uh-oh.
I'm not nearly as much against brothers going to watch this new movie. What is it called again?
Girls Trip.
I think it's fine. I think it's cool. Now, number one, if you take another brother with you to go see it, we might be having a different conversation. Outside of that, I'm not nearly as, I don't harp nearly as much on people who go see that movie as I am folks that's walking around eating ice cream on an ice cream cone in public. Outside of all of that, we get to Las Vegas. Las Vegas was hot. 119, 117, yeah. Oh, wow. 115. Wow. Hottest place I've ever been. No sweat beads beading up or nothing like that. I didn't sweat at all.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it was just hot.
So they say
a different kind of hot. Dry heat.
It's in Las Vegas, the temperature, people watch the weather to get their cash three numbers.
I don't know about all that. But I do know that I kept, when I went, everybody was saying, man, it's a different heat. I said, man, I live in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I said, you can't tell me about hot. It was so hot. It looked like people catching on fire walking.
No, come on.
It was so hot. We tried to walk across the street to go to another casino. Okay. Me and my wife.
Okay.
And we took 10 steps and looked at each other, went back inside to go down more to the hotel and cross down the street a little bit farther. We walked inside. It was too hot, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's blazing hot. But you're right. You cannot sweat. It's just like your skin just is on fire.
Besides that 3 hours behind that killed me, I mean, Las Vegas was cool. I mean, it's not really per se my type of city to be at, mostly because I ain't got the money to be giving them folks like that.
True, right.
Because it's impossible not to spend money out there. I mean, you can't even go use the urinal without one of the slot machines right next to you at the urinal. It's that bad. The heat was what it was, man. It was highly anticipated on my end until I stepped foot down up in there, and
it's different.
I had a good time, and you can be whoever you want to be in Las Vegas. Yeah, For those who ain't never been to Las Vegas, you can go to Las Vegas and be whoever in the hell that you want to be. Mm-hmm. Basketball was great. Had an amazing time. Man. Got a chance to network, meet a lot of really cool people. The atmosphere was cool. They say that for the Summer League existence, as it's been existing, it's just never been that crazy, man, just as far as the atmosphere. I'm sure, obviously, everybody know about the Los Angeles Lakers. Had a ton of fans out there. They were selling out like crazy. Had a wonderful opportunity to be right there at midcourt to see the Lakers and Celtics, Jason Tatum against Lonzo Ball. That was awesome. One of the bigger surprises, I didn't know that the Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns had that much support of just crowd and just fans that love their team that much.
They're the only thing in Sacramento, so you
is that? Yeah. I mean, it was.
But they traveled to Vegas for summer league.
I'm saying the squad is the only thing. It's the only pro thing or whatever they got.
People came out for sure to see the Lakers. And Lonzo Ball, obviously. I wasn't sure really where things were going to go after the first game against the Clippers that they lost, where Lonzo Ball, I think, shot like 2-for-15 from the field and 1-for-11. But every game after that, he killed it. But I will say this much. I think that the fans definitely got what they were looking forward to, considering they had two back-to-back number two picks between Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, who both showed up. So for that one game, Brandon Ingram did a phenomenal job, man, and shot almost 60% from the field. So Las Vegas was good for me, man. I came home with a couple dollars in my pocket. Anytime you can come home with a couple dollars in your pocket, coming from Las Vegas.
It's all good.
It is all good.
There you go.
But I got a quick question. Sure. What were the prices like to get into those games? Like, how much was an admission to the Thomas and Mack? I know you don't. We know Big Ballin' didn't know.
No, it ain't just that. There ain't no Big Ballin' and all that. Far from the Ball family. But I'm not sure. I think I heard maybe like 30 or 40 bucks a day or something like that. But I'm not sure. I was on a credential and I was tired of looking at anything with a price on it.
Yeah.
At that point, so I can't really say. And was just really trying to avoid it at all costs, the most that I could, especially how expensive stuff is out there, man. I mean, they act like they was going to charge you to drop one in the toilet or something, man.
Wow. Got to put a coil in the flush.
Yeah. So, I mean, outside of that, man, no, Las Vegas was awesome. It treated me really good.
So with the success of what the Lakers did making Summer League, much about them.
Okay.
But about the, I guess, the popularity that came about from this, you know, because we've seen the Summer League in the past, but it's not been as big as this year. And I know that a lot of that had to do with Lonzo. Do you think that the NBA is going to try to capitalize off the success and try to make this thing a little bigger next year? Maybe get a little more sponsorship, televise some things, and
I like to think so. If they smart, they will. Yeah. And NBA is all about money. And if you're trying to chase any of the stuff that the NFL doing, which is all about money as well, then yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, based off of what it was like this year, you can only imagine how crazy it's about to be. And on top of that, it seems like, and I don't know, maybe you guys can chime in, but this is just my personal opinion. It seems like this year's postseason between Summer League and free agency has probably been a little bit more exciting than the NBA regular season this past year, including the playoffs. So
I agree.
Yeah, Golden State got them crazy.
I agree.
Got them crazy.
It's a soap opera right now.
It really is.
It's been crazy. So
what did you think about Kuzma?
Oh, yeah.
He's a Michigan dude, so of course I'm going to love him. He's a Flint guy. No, but I think it's a perfect situation for Kyle Kuzma, especially bringing him and Lonzo Ball together. I mean, are they going to – had the Lakers, did they get the Paul George or Gordon Hayward or any of those guys? They didn't get none of those guys, but I think that they're happy, maybe not content and satisfied with where they're at, but being an organization and a franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers, you probably shouldn't be. But the future is at least looking brighter, especially walking away from the Summer League. Kyle Kuzma is a guy that can stretch out, shoot from outside, stretch the defense. He's going to play tough on the inside. He got a better handle than a lot of people gave him credit for. And that's a wonderful pick for like 28 or 29 or wherever.
27
to the Lakers. I mean, you got a big time steal. You got to keep your Lonzo Ball, your guy that you wanted, and a guy like Kyle Kuzma, where other people were taken before him but didn't necessarily show up in the Summer League. He showed up in the Summer League. And one quick note, a little nugget, the NBA Summer League is a lose-lose situation for people for the most part, because if you go out to the Summer League and whatever pick you are and you put in work, people going to say, yeah, but it's just the Summer League. But if you go out there in the Summer League and you stink it up, people going to say, dang, he can't even put in no work in the Summer League.
Right.
So it's a lose-lose situation, but yet still, I'd rather be on, you know, the good side of that and be able to say, hey, you can call it whatever you want, but
right.
I did put in work for the Summer League, and for a guy like Kyle Kuzma, somebody who led them all the way to the championship and won the championship of the Summer League, for whatever that's worth, minus Lonzo Ball in that game, I think that you can expect at least some pretty good things.
How big is Kyle Kuzma though? Like where do you see him fitting in once the lights come on and the big boys step on the court? Where do you see him fitting in, and what position do you act? Because he showed in Las Vegas he can really knock down the open jump shot. He can shoot the basketball a lot better than what people were giving him. So how big is he, and what position do you see him playing once the lights come on?
He's definitely a stretch four, for sure. And I think that he's even physical enough, and not even just the fact of having size to play power forward. I mean, besides Charles Barkley, there wasn't a lot of guys that you can put in there at the four that were undersized. And then now you're starting to see, you know, Draymond Green, if he even has a position, and so many other guys that can play the power forward position. But he's every bit of 6'8", 6'9", for sure. I don't know how big he is as far as, like, in size in regards to his weight. I would imagine anywhere between 225 and 240, and maybe not as big as 240, but I think that he can do some really good things in his league, just because the more things that you can do, it's not even about
positions.
You can't be one dimensional anymore unless you're a shooter. You got to be able to bring multiple things, you know, be one of those Swiss Army knife type of guys. So for a guy like Kyle Kuzma, who can shoot it, who has actually a decent mid-range jump shot, at least decent, that's something that's been non-existent in the league in the last probably 5 to 10 years. I like what he can do, man. Good size and a good mentality. Sometimes not even about the size. If a guy walks in there on the floor and he doesn't see size doesn't even matter at that point, because he can guard guys on the perimeter, and he can, you know, step out and shoot, and he can score on the inside and play some pretty good defense. If you got that hunger, you got that bite that can match that bark, then I think you're good money.
Who was really, really impressive as far as players out in Las Vegas? You can go player or team. It doesn't really matter.
The Lakers were impressive to me. Even during games where Lonzo Ball didn't play so well, I still think, obviously, we talked about Kyle Kuzma. There was a couple other guys.
Who's the point guard that played a lot?
Texas A&M. Caruso.
Caruso.
Yeah,
Alex Caruso.
He played well.
Yeah, he played well, I think, for them. Obviously, we know about the Lonzo Ball, and Dennis Smith Jr. played really well to check Diallo for the Pelicans. It seems like between him and Quinn Cook both, they absolutely destroyed the Summer League. Maybe didn't win a ton of games, but they look good. There's a guy, Bryn Forbes from the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Bryn Forbes looked really good. There's been quite a few guys that I thought looked pretty good. A guy like Jason Tatum, who didn't really wow me a lot going into the Summer League. You saw a lot of the Jason Tatum from high school that you didn't see from Jason Tatum at Duke, or that you saw in the latter part of his season at Duke. He reminds me a little bit of like a Carmelo Anthony with the style of play and the way we talked about mid-range. His mid-range. John Collins right here in Atlanta, man, impressed me a lot, too. He looked extremely good to me, not even just, averaging a double-double, but the way that he did things that doesn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet, rebounding, second-chance points, extra effort, stepping in between the passing lanes, dunking on folks, didn't care who you were, how big you were. He was another one of those guys as well. There was a few. There were some people I wasn't nearly as impressed with. But Josh Jackson, the Jackson guys, Josh Jackson looked pretty good to me. You wouldn't have known it by being there at the game, but by the time you look up with the type of game he has about 20 or 25 already. And then Justin Jackson as well from North Carolina, he showed me some things that at first that concerned me going into the Summer League. And I get it, it's only Summer League, right. But he showed some things that I can definitely say, you know what, he might actually end up potentially being a better pro than I would initially have thought. And going to the Sacramento Kings, that might be the best spot for him. If the expectations aren't too high, you can go out there, put in some work, and earn yourself a little couple extra dollars after your 3 years is up from rookie contract.
You will mention Donovan Mitchell from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on him and how he looked out there to you personally because of what he averaged with 28, D?
Mm-hmm. 28. Yeah, 28, and I think probably the part that raises eyebrows a little bit more is that he averaged 6 steals in the Summer League, which that looks good. However, he didn't play many games outside of the Summer League that was played in Utah.
Right.
And he only played 2 games in the Vegas Summer League. But, I mean, you still got other guys. I mean, the front court of the Miami Heat between Bam Adebayo and Okoro White, they look good. I wasn't as high on Marquise Chris in regards to somebody who played 5 games, and I expected him to average 14, being a lottery pick last year, and 6 rebounds, but shooting 34% as a big doesn't look good. And his body language was absolutely atrocious.
Wow.
It was terrible. He looked like he was probably, as in regards to body language, he was the DeMarcus Cousins of the Summer League when it comes to body language.
He's not that good.
But Caleb Swanigan looked good. He was a walking double-double coming out of Purdue.
Yeah.
He looked like that again. In Portland, Sendarius Thornwell showed that, you don't have to be, you know, a player coming out 1 year, 2 years, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's raving about you. He did his 4 years and got out. And I think that there's one more guy that I wanted to mention. Dragan Bender. That the Suns picked up in last year's NBA draft. He's not a guy that is going to, from a defensive standpoint, challenge shots or alter shots or anything like that, but his ability to shoot impressed me from what I thought coming into the Summer League and even coming into the NBA. So I think he's taking some strides for sure.
Who did not really impress you? I know Marquise Chris. You just mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some second-year guys, even here in Atlanta, Taurean Prince, who was expected to do bigger things. And I think John Collins came out the Atlanta camp being the most impressive. So, in your opinion, who really didn't impress that you thought could and would actually be on that next level?
People say Taurean Prince, his responsibilities were a little different because him only being a year removed from college, he was expected to take on a different role in regards to his duties and responsibilities and be a guy that can provide some leadership inside and in the huddle, right, and outside the huddle. And I think that he did a good job at that. Okay. Maybe he didn't shoot it necessarily as well. Him being a second-year guy, a first-year guy, and Lauri Markkanen, who can score from the outside, but again, like Dragan Bender, and of course we're talking about from the Chicago Bulls, he didn't necessarily impress. I mean, yeah, he can shoot from outside, but he's not going to alter shots, not going to rebound a ton, or even make his money on the inside. Denzel Valentine didn't really do much out there from what I saw either, who was like the NBA Summer League last year.
MVP.
MVP or something like that. So that was a little bit surprising, but for the most part,
he didn't look like he was taking it serious to me. He looked like he was very lackadaisical. I don't know how he was like outside the games, but just from the TV on the court, like he was shooting the ball, taking his hands down, a little showboat, a little cocky, like I'm in the league, I'm good, kind of play.
Well, that's not the mentality that you want to have just going into your second year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I saw that exactly, but he shot shots that were his shots that he did not make. They didn't fall, and he shot shots that were not his shots. Mm. So I think it's just more or less a matter of going back to the drawing board and see what you can do in terms of on the floor with that roster. But it still remains to be seen.
Now, from the summer league with the first year guys and the second year guys, who do you think takes the momentum from summer league and actually transitions into the NBA when the lights come on? Is going to continue this trend as far as their play in the summer league?
Lonzo Ball for sure.
Okay,
I think it's going to pick up right where he left off. Another guy is if the organization plays him properly the way that they should and supposed to, the other guy would be Dennis Smith Jr., I think. Between those two, and depends on what you need Bam Adebayo to do. He scored a lot more in the summer league than I think he's going to do during the regular season for the Miami Heat. But he's a glue and guts guy. If you need somebody that's going to run the floor, you know, rebound, get, you know, do all the dirty work, bring his, you know, hard hat, his construction hat, and his lunch pail to work every night, get your rebounds, and do what he's supposed to do, play that role, he's a guy that's going to do that and pick up where he left off as well. Those are my three.
Yeah, he did show a much more polished offensive game than he ever showed while at Kentucky.
And he showed putting the ball on the floor exactly, as well. You know, taking it from off the rebound, coast down coast, the court, and things of that nature. Want to talk about De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. Thing Man Hand talked about some of these rookie point guards who will see a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. He came up as a left-handed John Wall type player, but they also signed George Hill. So, in your opinion, do you think he's going to get as much time as Lonzo and Dennis Smith, or how do you think the organization would treat the De'Aaron Foxes of the world?
Well, I don't think that Lonzo Ball and Dennis Smith Jr. have the same kind of competition, are up against the same kind of competition that De'Aaron Fox is either. When you're talking about George Hill. But I do think that he'll definitely get some time, be able to show what he can do. I mean, he got a jump shot that he needs to improve on. But like I always say, we could say that about any rookie in this class. Mm-hmm. But just what his abilities, what he's able to do, he impressed me the first couple nights, and then the next couple nights, not as much. A lot of people was waiting to see him against Lonzo Ball, and Lonzo Ball, people say chicken out or whatever you want to call it. But in all fairness, Lonzo Ball didn't play the last game of the summer league either because of an injury. So either way it goes, if Lonzo Ball was running and ducking, he ain't going to be able to run and duck very much longer, because not only are they in the same conference, but they also in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I like what De'Aaron Fox can do. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He is, when I say acrobatic, in the way that he can kind of torque his body in the air and adjust his shots, similar to how Derrick Rose was able to do coming out of Memphis and entering the league, and his leaping ability. And he's smart, you know, he passes, he can get the ball around to guys that he know can finish and stuff. I don't think he has the highest IQ of point guards in this class, but I will say that he he plays with a chip on his shoulder and he got some dog in him. And when you take an inner city kid sometimes, you know, and some guys that don't necessarily come from, you know, two-parent homes and backgrounds, sometimes that makes a little bit of a difference. At least that's just my own experience, what I've saw, you know, covering this stuff for such a long time. So, and that's not nothing against guys who do come from two-parent homes. Just sometimes you can see it in the game.
Right.
And I think that we will see that left on the floor with De'Aaron Fox this coming year with Sacramento.
I just like that they're both going to be kind of going at each other. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost like something that's carrying over from college. You know what I'm saying? So it's just natural. You know, it's been a little joint back and forth between the father situation, and even Fox kind of calling him out, saying, "Well, I've been taking care of him every time we get on the court."
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. So it'll be anticipation when that game comes.
Oh yeah, ain't no doubt, no doubt. All right, G, what you got?
All right, so with you going out to summer league, is there anything that you saw that could, like, for me, I hadn't heard summer league talked about so much ever. And I think, you know, part of that is with this rookie class, especially someone like Lonzo Ball. But do you think there's anything that can be done to make it popular, make summer league popular on a consistent basis?
I'm not sure. You know, realistically, the if you can get some different events and stuff going on within the summer leagues, more stuff to do for the kids, which seems a little weird because it is Las Vegas and there ain't a ton of kids out there, but the kids that are out there, they come out there for summer league and they come out there for that specific event. And by the way, you'd be surprised how many kids you see up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning out in Las Vegas on that strip, by the way. But outside of that,
preach.
But outside of that, you know, just different events and making it more like a it won't be exactly this, but making it more like an all-star weekend type of environment.
Okay,
I think is probably something that I would imagine the NBA would kind of put into play and put a little emphasis on it to try and say, you know what, not only are we going to feature and showcase the best of the best coming out of college and came out of college the year before, but also we got good family stuff out here for the kids and for the, you know, just good family friendly stuff.
I think an all-star game after the tournament will probably be somewhat of some excitement as far as that is concerned.
Or an all-star night, dunk contest, three-point contest,
yeah.
You know, that type of stuff. I understand, but it brings attraction to the event in the question the G asked. I feel
like I ain't going to be able to do it.
You ain't going to be able to do it.
Too much money tied up in them rookies, man.
I feel you. All right, give us your first team, all-NBA summer league.
Lonzo Ball, Dennis Smith Jr., wow. I think I can put Kuzma in there.
Got to.
I think I'll put Kuzma in there for sure. I think Bryn Forbes would have been another one of those.
From San Antonio?
Correct.
Yeah.
And probably.
Kid from Boston.
Probably Josh. I would take Josh Jackson and put him in there.
That's your boy.
Ooh.
That's his boy.
I'd definitely put
take
him
Josh
in
over.
Over, he's been doing that since the beginning of time. He's always going to take Josh Jackson over Jason Tatum. If you listen to this man talk, he's taking Josh Jackson over Jason Tatum every day of the week.
I'll say this. I've caught a lot of slack, man, from some Duke fans who I'm pretty sure is listening.
You got one beside.
I know.
Trust me. I always know where my people are. No point, no elbows.
Yeah.
But no, I do like Jason Tatum. My only issue with Jason Tatum is I never thought that he could bring anything to the league that I've never seen before. And Josh Jackson just has one of those, seems like a slow game, but like I talked about, by the time you look up, you know, he's got these points, and then he's also a guy that's going to have those rebounds. And I can't speak for Jason Tatum and how he grew up because I don't know that situation, but I know that this is another one of those inner city kids over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what he's going to bring. I know what he's going to do. However, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it would surprise any of you guys, including G behind the glass, that we'll probably more likely see Jason Tatum playing into May and June before we see Josh Jackson playing with the Suns. And not only that, but, you know, on the East Coast, a lot more games are being seen than those on the West Coast. Well, and not only a West Coast, but It is still the Phoenix Suns at the end of the day. But no, but I like between them both, man. They're both phenomenal. They're both phenomenal players. I think that Josh Jackson probably had to. He's a little bit more situational. He had to fall to the right spot, and he can't afford to make no knucklehead decisions off the court, let alone on the court, because sometimes his body language can be kind of taken for being kind of hot-headed, which a lot of people don't understand how to draw the line between a hot-headed player and just a straight-up competitive guy who only knows one thing, and that's winning. You might see some frustration out of Josh Jackson because he is, again, the reminder, he's in Phoenix, whereas it'll look a lot better, especially when a team is winning, and it is the Boston Celtics when you're talking about Jason.
And they're going to be on TV a lot, too. They will. Boston will. For so, sure. So, Swanigan.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have him in your first team, walking double-double. Yeah, you did give him some props.
Give him some love.
But I guess because his game is more back to the basket,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what
dinosaur
the game is
extinct.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you give him props for even being able to put up double doubles, even though we're in this spread and or space and pace type of era in the NBA?
16 and 10. I'll tell you why I say yes, because he's not an athletic guy. He is back to the basket. We're talking about guys who play a position that is pretty much extinct. Not the position, but the playing style.
Right.
But he had another guy on his team that got picked higher than he did in Zach Collins, but looked better than Zach Collins when everybody was yelling
I forgot Zach Collins. About him. Yeah.
And that's the one out of Gonzaga.
That's the one out of Gonzaga. Who stayed in foul trouble, but anyway.
Exactly. and did the exact same thing in summer league.
That's the big lumberjack looking cat. Right?
No, this is the one come off the bench.
I'm thinking about the young one.
I was thinking about Karnowski.
Yeah, Karnowski. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
But I think one of the other impressive things about Swanigan was there isn't much of a turnover in time that you have to be able to get your body in shape to be able to get up and down that floor like that. So his conditioning coming in concerned me. Now, if he was able to translate that into the NBA 2 or 3 years later and showing that he slimmed down and can get up and down the floor, then it'd be like, okay, but he turned it around really quick. And he looks slimmer than he was at Purdue, so he's been working hard on his body.
He's super long too.
He's a tall guy. He's and the thing is, you don't want these guys to lose all of that baby fat.
Right.
You want to be able to keep some of that on.
You're gonna lose some of that during the season.
You're gonna lose some of it during the season, and you want to be able to set some screens down on that low block. That's gonna be difficult for the opposition to run around as they're chasing guards around a big guy like that. So. I think it's good. I think as long as he doesn't turn himself into, I'm trying to think. I got the guy's name on the tip of my tongue right now. Played at Ohio State.
Greg Oden.
No, played with
Sullivan?
The Celtics.
Sullinger.
As long as he doesn't, you know, turn into
the.
He's
in the big three now, right?
Well, he said he's making a comeback.
Yeah, coming back.
Waste. Remember, I told you.
You called it.
That was a wasted draft.
But I know we're short on time, but I gotta get it in. We gotta talk Peach Jam.
Okay.
You went down to Peach Jam.
Yeah.
Tell me about the experience. Who impressed you down at Peach Jam? And for all those don't know, that is the EYBL, the Nike Summer League. Mm. That is their national championship, so to speak, where they bring everybody in. Tell us your experience down there. We saw you were down there. Who impressed you, so who we can be looking forward to coming into college next year?
Trey Jones.
There's this guy.
Okay.
There's this guy that I've been talking about for a really long time. He's an animal. Mm. Okay. We're talking about a future 10-time NBA All-Star.
Woo!
Easily. Hall of Famer.
Woo!
That's the way it's looking. And I could just evaluate this talent in this kid. This kid, Marvin Bagley III, is nothing but serious.
Mm.
I mean, we're looking at a hybrid, maybe like Chris Bosh / Kevin Garnett.
Oh my goodness!
Kind of guy.
We're talking Hall of Famers right there.
This dude is the real deal.
I got the scoop on him too.
This dude is the real deal. And I know that we talked about. There's been some talks about maybe him reclassifying. And I think at the top of his list right now, at least his top three, I think is Arizona, Southern Cal, and it looks like Duke is the front runner, obviously, to maybe bag this kid if he reclassifies. But Dad is shooting all that stuff down, which he's supposed to.
He should.
Yeah.
But I can't rave enough about this kid. I've gone on and talked to, on so many different radio shows about last season's NBA draft, the Ben Simmons draft, and the Brandon Ingram. If he was in that draft, he would have been number one. Mm. If this kid was in the Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball draft, he'd be number one. Mm. Michael Porter Jr., Colin Sexton, whoever you want to throw out there for next year's draft, this kid would have been number one. Mm. Or might end up being number one, yeah, if he reclassified.
And he's left-handed. Mm.
This kid is the truth. I mean, I've seen him come off the glass and rebound. And you hear that point guard yell outlet halfway up the floor. And I've seen this kid give it up to that point guard and sprint all the way down to the other side before some of his own teammates on the wing made it down on the opposite side. And, of course, the point guard did what he was supposed to do, fed it to him down the middle, and the dude dropped it in and got the and one. I mean, this kid has a motor. He can shoot from the outside. It can be better, but, again, like anybody else.
We're talking 6'11".
Yeah, easy, yeah. Easy. Yeah. And a very good kid, a coachable kid, whoever gets him is going to be gets him is going to be considered very, very lucky. Obviously, Trey Jones impressed me a lot. I know Darius Garland is the number one ranked point guard in the class. Mm-hmm. Trey Jones is... Tyus Jones' brother. Yeah, Trey Jones, I think, is number two. Some people have him barely in the top five as far as point guards in that class. I think, personally, just based on that performance and some other stuff that I've seen, I think that Trey Jones is hands down the number one point guard in that class. Mm.
Talk about Zion Williamson. Was he at V-Town?
No, but I did see him last week in Cartersville.
Right.
He's actually playing up against the Big Baller Brand tonight.
Yeah, they in Las Vegas.
Big Baller Brand.
So he's playing LaMelo.
Yeah,
LaMelo.
Exactly.
LaMelo nice. Ball. But I did see him up against – I mean, this was a battle of the two top most athletic guys when I was out in Cartersville at Hoop Scene the other night. And Emmett Williams is the other guy's name, who's a monster in his own right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Zion, he can control the ball. He's very coachable. He's a good kid. And I hate to say anybody's a bad kid whatever. But this dude is just a good kid. You see him, you talk to him, that's a darn good kid. And all this stuff, I mean, I haven't seen a guy that is probably in that much of the limelight since I've heard LeBron's name being called.
Front of the Slam magazine.
I mean, dude, he's all over the place. He's a really good kid. And he's surprised, believe it or not. All this stuff that you see as far as him being an internet sensation, he's surprised that he's even able to do some of the stuff that he does himself.
Wow.
And I think a lot of that is because over the last year and a half, 2 years, he too has worked on his body. He used to be a much, much bigger kid than what he is now. So everybody come to him taking pictures and want autographs, so on and so forth. He shocked himself.
So how big is he?
He's easily 6'7". Easy. I think the 6'7", 6'8" range, I think realistically is probably right around where he's at. But I don't need to talk about as far as him dunking, because everybody knows that he can do that. But he can handle the ball. He can shoot. He's not a bad shooter. He didn't eat up on the inside as much as I liked him to. The first time I saw him against, I think it's called Newton or something, one of the schools here, Noonan, I believe it is. But he was able to do so in this time around that I watched him. And it was a big-time game. I mean, the dude dropped 37 in a loss.
Yeah.
But he dropped 37. He knows how to get people involved around him. And he knows that people are coming after him. But the way he handles it is very, very good. He's going to make – between he and Marvin Bagley, they're going to make somebody real happy.
I got to see Bagley. Rich. But watching his explosiveness, he jumps off the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when you watch him, it's like – that's different.
Yeah.
When you watch him, his athleticism is just different.
You're talking about Zion.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, and I want to make sure that I say this so Facebook Live, your friends and stuff can hear this. a lot of people giving him a lot of crap because of the people he's playing against.
And so that was my question
you. Yeah. And you see him out. You see him out there playing this competition. He's playing against guys that look like they're 12 years old. Yeah. He's playing against, with guys and against guys who look like they're 12 years old, but also play like they're 12 years old.
Right.
Don't let it confuse you. This dude can do this against anybody.
Yeah, he's explosive.
It's just who he is as a player. He's going to dominate regardless. So I want to make sure I throw that out there because a lot of people kind of like, yeah, but every time you watch a highlight of him, he always doing it against these type of looking kids.
You must have heard me talk.
Yeah.
Because I do say that. Because I always have to watch the competition to see. And I mean, certain kids, it's a reason why he explodes and he looks better. I mean, he's young. He's probably playing against his age group, but he's a man.
Yeah.
And he can't help that. It is what it is.
But like you say, he jumps off the screen.
Yeah, he does.
Jumps off the screen so much. And that's what I really wanted to see. Somebody who saw him in person. And could they say definitively, and I'm not even going to say, AAU basketball still has one or two players that are highly touted players, and the rest are just people who paid to be on the team. Let's keep it real. So I really wanted to know, what did he look like against the higher competition and the other players of Marvin Bagley and the D Slimes?
It looked like he played in 3D and everybody else is in analog.
Watching him in warm ups is just
incredible. He looks different.
Crazy. The NBA got the future, got a bright future. Porter Jr., Bagley, Zion. It's actually another kid, Emmett. Yeah. Emmett Williams
is his name that we were just talking about. I mean, Trayvon Duval, Colin Sexton. Yeah. This is going to be, I'm going to tell you right now, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But the next class coming up, the guys that are going into college as freshmen, when these guys enter the draft, they're going to make this past draft, Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, they're going to make it look like poop.
Woo.
Yep.
They're gonna make it look like.
And you hear him? He keeps saying a name, and it make me feel good every time he say it. Say it one more time.
He must be talking about Colin Sexton.
Talk to me, baby. Talk, Bama basketball.
Hey man. Hey, thanks for Deshaun coming in, man. It's time to, of course, end the show. I know you're sad, and we are too. But want to give a shout out to Deshaun for coming in and getting us hyped about this. NBA, even the freshmen is going into college. You know, we really appreciate that, man. Shout out to the crew. Shout out to Atlanta Traffic. G-Money got him, baby, with time to spare. Shout out to all our loyal listeners. Shout out to all the Facebook people. Shout out to everybody. Thanks for tuning in to that fun bag. Thanks for interacting. And, man, it's been great. Keep supporting SRT.
Just shout out to you guys for having me on, man. And shout out to the supporters of the Tate's Take brand. Follow me at Tate's Take Sports. And whoever been praying for me, man, I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Shout out to my mama, too.
There you go.
Hey, shout out Facebook fam. Everybody that was listening tonight, appreciate the input. Keep tuning in, enjoying the fun bag, and just rolling with the SIT crew.
A shout out to my mom and dad who listen to the show every week. Shout out to Atlanta Traffic for finally cooperating this week. And if you guys want to follow me on social media, I'm at GPlaysItCool on Instagram.
All right, D.
You already know, man. Follow me on social media. Follow my t-shirt page, man. Go buy a t-shirt at _RealTalkTees. That's at _RealTalkTees. And also follow my my personal page, man, at IAmCoachK9. That's IAmCoachK as in King and the number 9, man. Let's keep the conversation going. Go buy a t-shirt.
You already know. Please follow us on social media at SRT Radio. Go to the website, one-stop source for sports, srtradio.com. Thanks again. We'll holler at y'all next week. Han, you know how we do it.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
What up, dog? Julio John, let me hold 100,000.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
And this your man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
damn, I'm glad I ain't lucky way here.
And we out. Peace.